Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we've been trying to get through Ephesians and for a long time. I feel about like Ephesians like y'all do in Hebrews on Sunday morning during Sunday school. They said y'all finished Hebrews this morning. And Jim and somebody there is talking to me. It's going to be Brother Steve. I'm trying to figure out how long it's been since you've been in Hebrews. And I believe when I came here 7 years ago, a little 7 years ago, y'all was in Hebrews about chapter 2, if I remember correctly. So it's been a while, amen. It's been a while. So I don't feel too bad. Ephesians, I just started about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I don't feel too bad, amen. Chad and Steve's long-winded.
That's right.
Somebody say amen right there. Help me out there, amen. Amen. No, I appreciate it. It's good study of the Word, amen. I told him where I meant to go. I said, the thing about it is, you could go back into the book of Hebrews, start all over chapter 1, you'd find things you hadn't seen before.
Right.
That's the way the Word of God is. It's a living Word. It's always alive. You can always find something in it, amen. And if you'll pray before you read it, I promise the Lord will show you something in it. I promise He'll help you in it, and He'll show you something in it. But Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, we're going to pick up. I know I covered verse 20 and on down a few verses there the last time we looked at this, but I was in my study there this evening just praying, begging God to show us what to do tonight, where to go tonight. And I just can't get over verse number 24 there. Verse number 24 is where we're going to kind of take our text, and this is what's kind of stuck out at me, the Lord's laid upon our heart tonight, about a new man. A new man. And I thought in my heart, I guess I could say it this way. I love that scripture over there where it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things passed away, all things are become new. And we ought to be a new man, okay? I do believe tonight that if we are saved by the grace of God, we will show something different, amen? The Bible says also in one place, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I do believe that we are to live a separate life. And I've said this so many times, if the world can't tell any difference between us and them, we're not doing something right. We're not living the way we should be living, because God tells us to be separate from them. He tells us that we're to be a new creature. We're to live new. And I've seen a lot of folk that had to wear a sign to say there's a Christian. If you have to wear a sign to say you're a Christian, you done missed the mark. Amen. We ought to be showing it in our lives, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we do our dealings, our conversation. And we'll look at some of that here in just a minute. But that thought has been upon my heart, upon my mind all evening as we came down the road there, thinking about just a new man, what we're supposed to be. In Ephesians, also in the next few verses there, we'll get into it here in just a minute, but it's going to show you how to be that new man, what that new man's supposed to look like. There's one thing I found in the Word of God, that when God tells you to do something, He gives you the instructions to do it by. He don't just tell you to do it and then just leave you. If you'll get in the Word of God and study, if He tells you to do something, He'll show you in the Word of God the means and how to do that. He'll give you that instruction. And if you'll follow that instruction, you can do that. He never will tell you to do something that you're not able to do. I'll promise you that. I've said this so many times, and I love to use this illustration and analogy of the little old bumblebee. Scientists say, according to the wingspan and the wing size, that little old bumblebee can't fly. But it'll sure come by your head getting it, amen? And you say, preacher, how does it do that? Because God said it could, amen? And so God told it could fly, and it can fly. Same way, same thought and process. If God tells you to do something in the Word of God, you can do that, amen? And He will allow you, and He will give you the strength to do it with. So what I want to do tonight is we want to start in verse number 20 reading, and then we're going to read on down a few verses here. We'll take our text in verse 24. If you will, stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. We'll try just to mind the Lord, go as far as He'll let us tonight. And I won't promise you that we're going to go there again next Sunday night. We started that it's been a few months ago, and thought we was going to get back into that. We was going to try to finish the book of Ephesians, but the Lord took us a different direction. So we're going back in here. We'll go as far as He'll let us go tonight, and then we'll pick up next time He tells us, okay? Look at verse number 20. The Bible says here, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now, if you notice in verses 17 through 19, He begins to talk about the old man and the lust of the flesh, if you will, the lust that we have inside the vanities of our minds, and as the Gentiles have, he begins to talk about those things. But in verse 20, he said, but you not so learned Christ. In other words, that's not the way Christ tells you to lead, learn, or excuse me, tells you to walk. And he says there in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You ever want to know what the truth is? Just look at Jesus. Amen. Jesus, he says there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he might have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long suffering. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, just for being able to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for already feeling your presence in amongst us, Lord. What would we do without you, Father? Oh, God, I thank you and I glorify you tonight. I just want to praise you. I want to lift you up tonight. Oh, God, help us as we look into this scripture. Oh, God, that you take it and open it to us so we can understand it. Oh, God, that we'd apply it to our hearts and our lives, that we might walk a little closer tomorrow than we did today. God, I pray. Lord, I pray again, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. You know my body, you know my frame. Lord, I'm begging you for fresh oil, fresh unction, Father. Oh, God, anoint my voice tonight that I might be able to preach, thus saith the word of God, the way you see fit. Oh, God, just use us for your glory and your honor. Everything that's done, Lord, may it be done the way you see fit, according to thy holy divine will. Lord, we pray. Again, Lord, just bless us, Lord, tonight with your presence. We give you praise that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to notice in verses 23, actually 22, 23, 24 is where we'll kind of start off with. And then we'll go on down a little farther in the scriptures there. And I'm just going to take it verse by verse. Sometimes in the Bible, you know, we can dig in and we'll find a gold nuggets. We'll find messages kind of like we did this morning a little bit. And there's a lot of folk. And sometimes I do. We'll get points off of this one place or somewhere, and when we do that, you know, we'll get a message that away. But sometimes it's just good to let the Word of God speak for itself. Amen. Sometimes it's good just to take it verse by verse and context by context, if you will, and not take it out of context, but keep it in the context that it's written, and it'll speak to our hearts that away. So that's what we want to do tonight, is we just want to look at it as we go down through this. Notice with me in verse number 22. The Bible says here, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He's talking about the old sinful man. And he's talking about that old man before we are saved. That's who he's talking about. And I'm going to be honest with you, before we were saved, there was absolutely nothing to keep us from doing just what we wanted to do. Amen. Just what this old flesh wanted to do. It had free reign in your heart. Amen. But when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Holy Ghost moved inside of you, then you became a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Those things that we used to do, those things that we used, places we used to go, we can't do that anymore. Amen. And there's a Holy Ghost inside of us that keeps us from doing that. And he begins to convict our heart. Can I stop right here and just say thank God for the conviction of the Holy Ghost? I don't know about you, and some people look at it as negative, and some people look at it as bad. I'm going to be honest with you. When the Holy Ghost convicts my heart, I just say, glory to God. Amen.
Number one, I'm glad he's showing me the right way so I can get on the right track. Number two, I just thank God that the Holy Ghost looks my way. Amen. We don't even deserve to have the Holy Ghost, let alone him convicting us and putting us on the right way. Amen. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost and the conviction that we have. And that old man, whenever we had that old man, we didn't have that conviction. But now that we have the new man, we do have that conviction. Now, notice with me, if you will, verse 23. Verse 23, the Bible says this, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed, brand new. Listen to me tonight. I believe it's something that has to be brand hammer new within us. Amen. He said, renew your mind. Hey, listen, we're saved by the grace of God. The Holy Ghost has moved inside. Our soul has been saved. But I'm going to be honest with you right here, and I believe you'll agree with me with this. If we don't keep our minds renewed constantly in the Word of God, in the things of God, amen, you know what we'll do? We'll be going back to the old flesh. We'll be going back to the old man. What we've got to do is we've got to renew our minds in the Word of God and keep our minds in that Word. I believe it's in Philippians over there where the Bible says the things that are pure, the things that are honest, the things that are true. Think on those things, you know. Keep those things in your mind. That's what we need to do in order to get rid of the old man and get the new man showing forth is to keep our minds renewed. Amen. Our heart, listen, it's saved. Praise God, I'm glad I'm saved today. Amen. My soul is saved. I'm just as good for heaven if I was already there. But in my life, in my conversation tonight, in order to show forth a new man, I have to renew my mind constantly and in the Word of God to stay where I need to be. You remember the scripture over there where Paul says that he crucified himself daily. He died daily, amen, and daily he had to crucify himself. I believe that's what we've got to do in order to stay where we need to be with God. Now notice with me in verse 24. Verse 24, the Bible says this, "And that ye put on the new man." I like that, the new man. And that's kind of what we want to preach tonight. I don't really have a title for the message. If I did, the message would be this, a new man. I'm glad tonight I'm a new man. I'm a new creature, amen. I'm not the same person I used to be and never will be, amen. A new man. Preacher, what's that new man look like? What should that new man portray? Well, let's read on down in the scriptures and we'll see. Notice, if you will, there, he says the first statement after that says this, which after God is created in righteousness. Which after God is created in righteousness. I notice that word where it says, which after God. In other words, we are to look like him. Everybody uses this word Christian. And when they use that word Christian, it is very, very loosely. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, if we're going to be a Christian, we've got to be Christ-like. That new man, I believe, first and foremost, that new man must look and portray Christ, okay? We must have that righteousness within us. Now you say, preacher, am I going to be perfect? Oh no, we'll never be perfect. But we will portray righteousness. We will try, we will try our best to attain that righteousness because we want to portray Jesus Christ in that old man or that new man. That new man needs to look as much like Christ as he can. And if we're going to do that, it'll be in righteousness. That righteousness will show forth in us. Now I realize tonight that I make that statement and everybody's thinking in their mind, oh, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, let me say this. You can't do it without him. Amen. You can't do it without Christ. Amen. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. We are so many times we try to work our fingers to the bone, try to do things on our own. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, without the Holy Ghost, we cannot show forth any righteousness. If I let this old flesh take over, I let this old body take over this old human flesh, it won't be long. I'll be wallowing right back out there in the sin of the old world. Amen. But if I'll renew my mind and let the Holy Ghost work in us, then I can show forth the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Notice the next statement there. He said, not only in righteousness and true holiness. Well, that's a word we don't talk about a lot. Amen. That's a word we don't mention a lot. Most Baptist people don't want to hear that. Amen. But it's in the Bible, is it not? Amen. He says, be ye holy for I am holy. Amen. I believe it's still in there. I believe it's Brother Dave Shelton said the other night, what's wrong with doing right? What's wrong with living right? Amen. We live in a society today when we're all the time talking about rebelling against something. Hey, what's wrong with just doing what's right? Amen. I believe if we do what's right, I believe we'd be better off. Amen. I do believe as we look here, he said in all holiness there, in every single aspect of our life, in every single part of our mind, I believe we ought to think about, we ought to have holiness in our hearts. Amen. Now I realize tonight that it's hard. And I'm preaching to you something tonight that is hard to attain. But I'm going to be honest with you. It can be done according to the Word of God. And God will not put anything in here that we are not able to do. I believe that we can do that. Now, with that said, in the next few verses, he's going to break down for you what he's saying in verse number 24. In other words, he's going to elaborate on each little thing, if you will. And this is not all of them, but just a few examples of this holiness and this righteousness that is supposed to be shown forth in the new man. Notice verse 25. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Boy, that's a strong verse, is it not? I don't know about you, but in reading this scripture, now listen to me tonight, he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing, this is one of the first prison epistles that he ever wrote, and he's writing back to the church there at Ephesus, and he's telling the church, listen to me closely, he's telling the church, put away lying. Now that boggles my mind. You say, preacher, why would he say that? Well, evidently somebody's lying. Amen. Evidently somebody. Oh, preacher, surely they ain't a Christian that lies. Surely they ain't a Baptist that lies. Surely we're just too holy for that. We just can't do that. Well, he put it in the Bible, did he not? Amen. Somewhere there somebody was lying, or Paul would not have wrote that in the book of Ephesians. Amen. He said, wherefore, put away that. Amen. He said, don't be lying. He said, stay away from that completely. I believe if there's anything a Christian ought to do, it ought to be tell the truth. You say, preacher, that's without saying. Well, evidently not. Paul put it in the book of Ephesians. Amen. Evidently it needs to be preached. Evidently it needs to be said. Amen. If there's lying within us, we need to get rid of it, because that's the old man. That's not the new man. Amen. He says there, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Just tell the truth. Amen. The Bible says truth shall set you free. Amen. Listen, there's no place for lying in your life. There's no place for lying in my life. There's no place for lying anywhere in the world. Amen. I believe we ought to speak the truth. Now, I realize the truth hurts sometimes, but I do believe this. I believe the truth will work. Amen. I believe it'll always work. Amen. I don't believe lying ever helps. Amen. The truth will always work. Again, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. Amen. I believe that new man should be a truthful man. He should be a man that you know when he speaks, he's telling you exactly the truth. There's no doubt within him. I remember a time years ago, and probably, I guess, many years ago, y'all know more about it. Probably now, do some of you older than I am. But there was a time when a man put his hand out and shook his hand. Boy, that was his word. And that was truth right then. There was no question when a man shook his hand on that. Now you've got to take it and you've got to have triplicate paperwork. You've got to sign your name 15 times in order just to make it even halfway right. And then they can turn it around, find a little fine print, and lie somewhere, another, find a loophole somewhere. Amen. Hey, listen, it's time to quit the lying and just tell the truth. Amen. Amen, I believe that. Notice with me as he says here, for we are members one of another. He said, preacher, what's that mean? Well, listen to me. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. I went back over there in the scriptures, and I've not got time to turn there, but I went back over in the scriptures there, I believe it's in the book of Romans, if I remember correctly. But he talks about there that we are members together. Might have been Corinthians, but we are members together. We are in one body. And when I lie, if I was to lie and it come out, if you will, it brings a reproach on you and you and you and you. Amen. It brings a reproach on the whole church. That's what it does. It tears down. That's the reason we ought to stay away from it. Amen. We ought to do everything within our power to stay away from it. I don't know why the Lord wants us to go here tonight, but I do believe this. It's something that we need to understand, we need to see, is that when we do a lie, we don't tell the truth, and we don't stay with the truth, we bring detriment and we bring a harm to our church and to our members, to each one of us. Amen? I guarantee you do something wrong like that, you tell something that ain't true, and you know what happens? Those folks out there say, well, they're a member of Pentecostal Baptist Church. Wonder what kind of members they got down there. Amen? Listen, we're members together. It not only brings a reproach to the members of this church, it brings a reproach to Jesus Christ and to the church. Amen? It brings a reproach to them. Notice verse number 26. Let's move on. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We're still preaching on new man now. According to what I can read here, the new man can be angry. I read that. Amen. Don't you agree with me? Say amen. I read in there, it said, be angry, but sin not. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with being angry. There's things in this world I'm angry about. Amen. Well, when I see on the news that they've went and they've killed a bunch of babies, I'm angry about that. Amen, I'm angry about that. I'm going to be honest with that. When they go against the Word of God and they begin to bring reproach upon my Savior, hey, listen, I get angry about that. And we should, amen. If you study in the Scriptures, you study in the Gospels, there were several times that Jesus, He got angry. You know what He did? He went into the temple, He cleansed it 2 times, amen. Several times there, you see where He cleansed the temple. He went in there and got rid of that old junk. We ought to be angry about that. Amen. I believe we ought to be angry about sin. We ought to be angry about something that brings detriment to us. Amen. Be angry. But sin not. There's a way to be angry. Amen. We can be angry and not sin. We can stand against this stuff and not sin. We can do it in the right atmosphere and in the right spirit. Amen. And not sin. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. I get angry. But what you need to do is sin not. Amen. Listen, not let the sun go down upon your wrath, the Bible says here in verse 26. In other words, don't let that fester. That's a good old mountain word from old timey word. Don't let it fester. Amen. I believe don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. Listen, the next day's a new day. Amen. Just let it go. Amen. Be angry and sin not. The next day, let it go. Amen. I believe what he's saying here is this brings a detriment. If we ain't careful, if we're angry and we sin in that anger and we let that anger eat us up, then what we're doing is we're bringing our reproach upon the church. We're bringing our reproach upon each other. And in that, listen, we're bringing detriment unto ourselves. Amen. And we're not showing forth that new man. That new man may get angry, but he won't sin. Amen. Notice with me verse number 27. I got to move on quickly. Neither give place to the devil. Boy, that's good right there. Wow. That right there is preaching for 2 hours right there. Amen. I mean, there's no way you can get all that. That's just as simple as you want to put it. But there's example after example after example that we could use in that. Neither give place to the devil. I got to thinking about that. When you give place to it, you're inviting him in. Amen. If I invite you to the house tomorrow night and say, I'm going to feed you supper, I'd be kind of crazy to leave you out on the porch, wouldn't I? I'd invite you to the house and say, boy, I'm going to feed you some good chicken and dumplings. Come on in. Chicken and dumplings and cornbread, just come on eat with us. You come up, knock on the door. I'm here, and I just close the door back, and we'll sit down out there on the porch. We'll see you in a little while. It'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Huh? But if I invite you in, you said, and you eat, well, you know, that's the way we do it with the devil a lot of times. If we ain't careful, we'll invite him in. The Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. If it even comes close to looking wrong, looking like sin, looking like evil, we're to stay away from it. Amen? Just stay totally away from it. Don't give place to the devil. Oh, I wonder sometimes, now, I'm going to make a statement right here, and I want you to be very careful. Listen to what I'm going to say here. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit, too. Amen, we do. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit, and we like to use that old statement, the devil made me do it, when most of the time it's the soul rotten flesh. There's a difference in the devil making you do it and just letting the old flesh take over, amen, when we can take it and renew our minds and stay with God, amen, and decide ourselves that we're not going to allow the flesh to do that, amen. I realize the devil and his imps and his demons come by sometimes and they'll tempt you and those things. The Bible says in there, Paul said this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. That's what we wrestle against sometimes. But sometimes it's just the old flesh. But there is times that this new man, if we ain't careful, we'll allow this devil to come in and we'll give place to the devil and let him take over sometime and cause us to do things that we should not be doing. Amen? The new man, he won't give place to the devil. The new man through the Holy Ghost and through the righteousness of God and through the study and the reading of the Word of God, he will not give place to the devil, but he'll run him away. Amen? The Bible says in James over there, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But can I say this? And I preached a message, it's been about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I don't remember exactly. But I preached a message on, you don't have to go with the devil. You do not have to go with the devil. We don't have to follow him. We don't have to give him place. Amen? 1 Peter over there says, be sober, be vigilant. The devil, your adversary, is walking around like a lion. Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. And I know that's my paraphrasing there. But he wants to devour you. Why in the world would you give place to someone who wants to devour you? Amen. I believe the new man will not give place to the devil. He will kick him away. He will shun him. Amen. He won't have anything to do with him. I believe so many times if we ain't careful, we try to dilly-dally in the things of the world. We try to just tease him a little bit. Amen. Next thing we know, he's moved in and he's got us. Amen. Look at verse number 28. The Bible says in verse number 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, I'm going to say again. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And the two main things, or two things that he says in the scriptures, is number one, put away lying. And then number two, put away stealing. And again, we think in our minds, my land above, ain't a Christian don't steal. Huh? Yep, good Baptist, they don't steal. Huh? And I know you're sitting there in your mind thinking, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, be careful, amen. We better be careful. There's a reason it's in the book of Ephesians. There's a reason that Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus. And he says there, let him that stole steal no more. I just got to say this, and I believe you might agree with me. If there's anything I can't stand, it's a thief. Amen. If there's one thing I cannot stand and I will not tolerate, it's a thief. Amen. I just can't handle it, okay? I don't believe we're to have anything to do with that. Let him that stole steal no more. Amen. If you want something, listen. If you need something, come to me and ask me. Amen. I'll break my back. I'll give you the shirt off my back. But don't steal from me. Amen. I believe that's the way we're supposed to live. I believe that's the way we're supposed to live our life. That's the new man. Amen. Is we're not supposed to steal. We're supposed to help others. Amen. Now, I love this scripture because the Bible says, notice verse 28 again. He says, but rather let him labor. Whew, that's a word, ain't it? That's a word folks don't like today. Let him labor. Amen. There's another thing I can't handle. That's laziness. Amen. By the way, there's a difference between a needy person and a lazy person. Amen. There's a lot of folks out there today that's just lazy. Amen. If they get up and get to work, amen, they could provide for themselves, but they're too lazy to do it, okay? Let's just go ahead and be real about it, okay? Believe it's in the Word, amen. He says there, by the way, what's wrong with laboring? Hard work's good, amen, it's good for you. Amen. You can ask my boy. I had him on a go-devil before he's even hardly able to pick it up. Amen. Hey, listen, I had him on a shovel before he's hardly even able to pick up a scoop full of dirt. Amen. Why? Because I want to teach him to be able to labor. I want to teach him to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. I believe that's the way the Lord teaches us. Amen. There's not a thing wrong with working today. Amen. There's not a thing wrong with work today. We live in a society today when everybody wants to get an education and sit back and watch somebody else work. Amen. They want to get an education, get a bunch of degrees behind their name, and then sit around and watch somebody else do something. Amen. I believe we ought to get some that just got some grit inside of them and began to work. Amen. Notice the reason for this. I say that because there's a reason. I'm not just saying that because that's my opinion. I'm saying that because there's a reason for that, okay? Notice with me in the scriptures what the Bible says. Verse 28, he says, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I believe one of the main things, the first priority, is we're supposed to provide for our families. I believe men, I believe we're to be the breadwinners. I believe we're to provide for our families. I believe the Bible teaches that. But I also believe this, that one of the main reasons that we should work and we should labor is that we can help somebody else that is in need. I say again, I don't have a problem helping folk at all. I'll do my best to help anybody that has a need whatsoever. We'll try our best. And we've done it here. Man, we give. I appreciate the way the Pinnacle gives. I really do. We'll give money to help folk, and I thank God for that. But I'm going to be honest with you. If there's laziness there, I don't care much about helping. Amen. I don't care much about helping. Amen. Let them labor with their hands. And by the way, the Lord gave you two hands for a reason. Amen. Amen. We need hands. We need calluses on your hands. Amen. We've got two hands to work with. There's nothing wrong with working with your hands. Well, preacher, I didn't realize all this is in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. And by the way, it's not only in the Bible, but it speaks of the new man. This is talking about the new man. That's a new man will labor and so he can help another man in need. Amen. That's what we're to do, is we're to help each other. But we need to do that by laboring. Amen. I don't believe we're to steal. I believe we're to labor. I believe we're to help each other. Amen. I believe that. Notice verse number 29. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, now we come down to the tongue. Ouch. Now we come down to our communication. That we have in our mouths, that we proceed. Let no corrupt communication, notice that, proceed out of your mouth. Now, I thought to myself, what exactly would that be like? Corrupt communication. That could take on so many different avenues. That could take on ridiculing somebody. That could be bear false witness against somebody. That could be speaking harshly to someone. That corrupt is a communication that brings harm to that person that's listening. Now listen to me closely. If you have a communication, you speak words that brings harm to someone, then it don't help them, does it? And that's the corrupt communication that he's talking about. And there's so many different examples that could be in. We need to be careful. My dear little old granny, bless her heart, done gone on to be of the Lord. But there's one saying that she had that I never will forget, that I loved dearly. If you can't say something good about somebody, keep your mouth shut. I say glory to God for that. You say, preacher, is that spiritual? You better believe it. It's in the Word. That's what she told me many times. If you can't say something good, just be quiet. Just don't say nothing at all, amen. If you can't say something good to edify somebody, lift them up, just be quiet, amen. I'm talking about corrupt communication. That word corrupt means to ruin. It means to bring detriment. It means to bring harm. And if our communication that comes out of our mouth brings that, then the old man's showing forth and the new man's not showing forth. Amen. Notice what he says here now. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Edifying. I like that word edifying. That word edifying is building up. By the way, that's one of the jobs of the church, is to edify. It's to lift each other up. We're not here to tear one another down. Say amen right there. We're not here to tear one another down. We're here to edify, to build one another up, to lift one another up, to scotch each other up, or to be a foundation under somebody, to help one another. That's what we're here for. That's what that new man will do. He'll edify you. He'll lift you up. Notice the next part of this.